Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
First Corinthians chapter 2. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Everybody say, "The power of God." Say it again. Say it again. This is what our faith is to be in. It's to be in the power of God. And we need to therefore become more familiar with the power of God. For our gospel is a gospel of power. Over in Acts chapter 1, why don't we go there, Acts the first chapter. Jesus, his last words to his disciples before leaving them and going to sit down at the right hand of the Father. This is what he said. Acts 1, verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 8. "But you," and this is it. This is the last recorded words of Jesus before ascending into heaven. This is powerful. He wants to leave these last words with him. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And like we said last time, Jesus' last words were not, "And you shall receive scripture when the Bible has come to you." He didn't say, "You shall receive scripture when the Bible has come to you." He said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And our faith is to be in the scriptures? No, more than that. In the power of God. And the scriptures are to help us to yield and flow and recognize God's power. To recognize what is God's power, what is satanic counterfeit power. We need to be able to recognize, the Bible tells us in 1 John, I believe it's the 4th chapter, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God or not." How do you test the spirits? Well, you test them with the Word of God. Because the Spirit of God is always going to operate in line with the Word of God. But the Word of God is not to be isolated and independent of the Holy Spirit. It is to help us to yield and cooperate with Him. Now, the word power here, for he says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." This was a promise that Jesus made to his disciples. But the promise wasn't just to them. Because we know in Acts chapter 2 that when the Holy Spirit was poured out and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, Peter stood up and began to preach about what was happening. And he said that this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, on all flesh. So what Jesus said here to his disciples, and there was about 120 of them, he says to all who would believe on him. Peter went on and he said, verse 39 of chapter 2, for the promise, talking about the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you, and that's to this crowd of people from all the different nations of the earth that had gathered together for the Feast of Pentecost. He said, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. That's future generations. It's to all of us that are a part of these last days. How many of you know if it was the last days then in Acts chapter 2, it's the last days now for sure. It's still the last days. So this promise is for us. So take it personally. You got to look at it as though Jesus, his last words to you, he looked you in the eyes and said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now you wait here, you tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Because you're going to need this power to be an effective witness of me. To be able to do what I've called you to do, you need this power. So these very important words Jesus has spoken to us as well as to these disciples here hiding in that upper room. He has spoken that to us. So this power is yours. This power is mine. And we need to get the revelation of it. I believe that's what God wants us to get tonight. He don't want us to just hear something. He wants us to get something. He wants us to get it and know it. Just as many of you know that you're saved, and you know if you died today, you know you're going to heaven. You know that. Well, you need to know and be absolute certain that you have power. You have supernatural Holy Spirit power. We need to get a hold of that. And we need to understand we got this, and we got to be able to recognize this, and we got to be able to yield and flow with this power. Otherwise, we're not going to be effective in the kingdom of God. We're not going to be effective witnesses of the Lord to win people to Jesus, to preach the gospel, to be a blessing to somebody. The word power in the Greek language, and this is interesting, and I don't think it's a coincidence. This is God's word. But we know there was 120 people waiting in the upper room for this power of the Holy Spirit to come and rest upon them and then to go out from there into the whole world. And we go back into the Old Testament and we see there were 120 musicians, priests that had gathered in the temple, and that they were all playing in one accord when the glory cloud of God's Spirit filled the temple. And it was so strong and so heavy that the priests couldn't stand up under it to minister because of the glory of God that filled the temple. And there was 120 musicians in one accord, which was a type and a shadow of the 120 disciples that were waiting in the upper room for the power of heaven to come and fill them, because now they were the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if they couldn't stand up at times under the glory, under the power, under the presence of God that filled that temple, how much more should you and I once in a while just not even be able to stand up under the weight of God's presence? Because it's so real, so tangible, so in manifestation. How much more? How much more? God's power is real, and we need it in manifestation in our life. We can't just walk around quoting scripture and even just prophesying. We got to get over into the presence of God and through prophecy, through the scriptures, through whatever means we can, speak it in tongues, we tap into this power of God. Now, this word power appears 120 times in the New Testament. 120 times. You shall receive power. Who do you say it to? The 120. And it actually shows up in the New Testament 120 times. In the Greek Concordance, 120 times in 116 verses. Praise God. This is important. These are Jesus' last words. This was prophesied in the types and shadows under the old covenant concerning this. We need to understand it. So the word power in the original language means strength, power, ability, might, mighty works or mighty deeds, power for performing miracles. And that, from my study of it, is how it's primarily used, this word, power, which in the Greek language is dunamis. Dunamis. And it's spelled D-Y-N-M-U-S, something like that. And it's where we get our English word dynamite. Dynamite. Praise God, God's made you a stick of dynamite. Man, he's filled you with TNT. TNT. Dynamite. That's what he's filled you up with. It's funny how the devil, it's not really funny, but it's amazing how the devil, he has his disciples running around packing themselves with explosives to blow themselves up, blow up other people. Do destructive things. But God, it's just a counterfeit. That's the best the devil can do with his disciples. But God has given us dunamis. He's given us miracle working power. Now, we don't want to just sit here and say, yes, amen, I got miracle. We want to walk in miracle working power. Because Jesus said, you shall receive dunamis. You shall receive miracle-working power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you so that you can never work a miracle. No, that wouldn't make any sense, would it? No. He said, you shall receive miracle-working power. Why do you think he gave you miracle-working power? Why do you think? Look how sluggish we are.
Is this a trick question, Pastor?
Why did God give you miracle working power? So you can work some miracles. Right? You got miracle working power. So guess what? Miracles should be what we do. Miracles should be what we do. Everybody slap yourself in the head and I'm going to join you. Ready? Miracles is what I do. Well, the day of miracles went out with the last apostle. What, are you kidding me? The promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are afar off in these last days. It's to all of us. Dunamis. It's ours, man. Miracle working power is ours. We got to learn to walk in it. Now, I found it interesting. Over there in the book of Revelation, you know, Jesus, he has a message for seven of the churches. Seven of the churches. And he rebukes one after the other for just not being with his program, not in his flow at all. Which should tell you something. Don't follow the church. Don't follow the church world. Stay with the Bible. Follow Jesus. Follow Holy Spirit. Because if you follow church world, you might end up like the church world. And a lot of the church world is not in very good shape. And it's very interesting, over there in Revelation, it's chapter 3. Now here's, he finally gets to praise the church. He finally gets to praise the church. And he just goes down the line of all of them. And most of you know, I don't have to go through them all. You got the lukewarm church, and you got the, you know, the church is often a false doctrine, and all kinds of things going on. Allowing false prophets in there. They got all kinds of wild stuff going on. Then he finally comes to the church at Philadelphia. The church of brotherly love. And he says, and to the angel or the messenger of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, who has the key of David. He opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. And you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Now, that word strength is the same word, dunamis, that Jesus said you shall receive. You shall receive power. You shall receive miracle working power. You shall receive might. You shall receive strength when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Same word here. And notice what he says. For you have a little strength. You have a little of that power working. You have a little miracle working power. You have a little supernatural power going. Praise the Lord. And listen, that is like a major compliment when you put it up against what he said to all the other churches. They didn't have any power. They didn't have any supernatural strength happening in their midst. And so guess what? There's a good chance that it's a lot like that today. But it's not right. I said it's not right. And so the best among us have a little strength. But is that the way it's supposed to be? Are we supposed to just have a little strength? Are we supposed to just have a little power? Thank God for the little. But you know what? What you have received from God, you are to be multiplying it. We're to be increasing it. It's to be growing. It's not to be being dormant in us. It's to be growing. But if you don't use it, then you lose it. You've got to work it for it to grow and become stronger and stronger in your life. You got to be faithful with the little power. And it might be just enough power to give you just a little thrill. It might be just enough power to make you happy when you got no reason to be happy. It might be just enough power to cause somebody to jump up, shout, and run around a room. We saw some of that this weekend, didn't we? Oh, yeah, we saw some of that. Praise God. That's working the power. Seems foolish. Seems silly. But that's working the power. And that's how we grow up in the power of God so that we get to the place where we are doing mighty works in the earth. God is looking for some people. He's looking out of all the churches. He's looking for those who he can show himself strong, mighty, powerful on their behalf. God is looking for folks, friends. And it's up to us to go in and take what he's given us and rise up and begin to work this thing. And it might start out looking silly. It might look small. It might look insignificant. It might look like we're not getting anywhere, but we are. We are. We're stirring it up. We're stirring it up. Just being excited about it. Just being excited about the power of God will cause the power of God to begin to manifest and work in your life. I remember I was watching an evangelist who had a powerful anointing on his life for miracles. I was watching them on television years ago, and they were showing one of his crusades, and miracles were happening. Tremendous things were happening. And then they came back to the studio, you know, and that's how they usually close out the program. He was sitting in a chair, and there were some other folks around. I think they were on couches or whatever, and they're all sitting around in a circle. When they came back to the studio, apparently they must have been watching the crusade or something, but they're all just sitting there. And nobody said anything for the first couple seconds. And as they sat there for that moment, the Spirit of God spoke to me. I heard the Spirit of God within me say, the day they stop getting excited about these miracles is the day they stop. I no sooner heard those words in my spirit, he lunged forward, grabbed the guys next to him, he said, the day we stop getting excited about these miracles is the day they stop. Think about that. Does God want it to stop? He wants it to increase. But the day we stop getting excited about the miracle working power of God is the day it dwindles down to nothing and stops working in our life. So the first step in walking in the miracle-working power of God is get excited about it. Get stirred up about it. Get turned on about it. Start talking it up. Start thinking about it. And be determined, I'm going to get in this thing. And start looking for opportunities to exercise this power. Because if we don't, it's not going to happen. We're not going to see miracles. We're not going to see the kind of revival and miraculous things that God wants to produce. Lukewarm people get nothing. Complacent people get nothing. You have to be excited about the power of God. Faith is when something's real to you. When something like this is real to you, friend, then you're going to be excited about it. The only reason why you wouldn't be excited about it is because it's not so real to you anymore. Or it's gotten old to you. It's gotten old to you. Well, what does that mean? If it's gotten old to you, that means you stayed at that level too long. That's why it got old to you. You stayed at that level too long. You should have been going on from glory to glory. You should have been going on to a greater power. You should have been developing that power and seeing fresh and new things happening. See, it's up to us to work it. We've got to work this power of God. We've got to do it. You got to do it. You got to take hold of this. And you got to work it in your life. Dunamis. God's packed you with TNT. He's packed you with dynamite. We got to light the fuse. You can have all the dynamite in the world, but if you never light the fuse, if you never set the thing on fire, you can throw it. You can do all kinds of things with it. Nothing's going to happen. You got to set the thing on fire. Set me on fire, Jesus. Set me on fire, Jesus. Somebody say, light me on fire, Jesus. Right? Isn't that the key to getting the thing to blow up? Don't you have to, doesn't it have to be a spark? Can we just have a spark? Church world gets offended if there's a spark. But they get offended about everything. You know, I can come up here, I can preach on the fear of God. I can preach on holiness. I can preach on sanctification. People will be offended and never come back to this church again. We've lost lots of people preaching on holiness and godliness and the fear of the Lord. Good things, you know. Then you turn around and say, all right, praise God, we'll lighten up. Let's preach on partying in Jesus. Now you're going to have people get offended, and they're going to walk out too. and they're not going to be happy. So I've just decided, bless God, it don't really matter. Let's just do what God wants us to do and not worry about other people, because no matter what you do, you're going to lose when it comes to people. You're going to lose the popular opinion vote. If they do a poll on your life, you're going to lose, so you might as well just go at it 110%. Jesus had the same problem over there in Matthew, verse 11. He said, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not lament." So, I mean, you see two extremes here. We see fluting, right? You see a fluting and a celebrating, tooting. And then we got lamenting. We got lamenting, we got crying. Totally opposite. He said, "We played the flute, you didn't dance. You walked out and got offended when we played the flute." We started, you walked right out the door. Said, "They're nuts, they're crazy." Then we started all crying, "Oh God, have mercy," and then a group left that. Another group left. "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. So the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." But she said, "But wisdom is justified by her children, by what she births." What are you going to birth into this world? Come on, there's supernatural things. There's power that needs to come out. There's miracles that need to come out. There's healings and deliverances that need to come out of you. And wisdom will be justified by its children, by the fruit that it produces. And ultimately, it'll be justified when we stand before the Lord. And he says, "Well done. You gave me glory, you gave me honor, and you gave me power. You gave me all these things. I invested it into your life, and you worked it, and you produced it, multiplying it back to me, which is what I expected from you." But then there's those lazy, worthless servants who say, "Lord, I know you gave me the power. I know you did these things, Lord, and I hid it in the ground. So here it is, Lord. Here's back what you gave me." Do you remember that servant that Jesus talked about in the Word of God? Well, the Bible tells us today that we have this power in earthen vessels. We have this power in earthen vessels. Is this dunamis power? That's the power it's talking about there. Is this dunamis going to be hidden in the earth of your vessel? If it is, that makes us worthless, lazy servants. Doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven, but there'll be some weeping and gnashing of teeth with regret as we stand before the Lord and realize what we sat on, what we buried on the inside of us. What embarrassed us every time it tried to, a little smoke started coming up. You know, the power just started smoldering. Just started smoldering. All on its own. You know, sometimes you just take a pile of leaves, keep them piled up and pressed down somewhere. Out there in the humidity, after a while, they just start smoldering. It just starts smoking under there, you know. God's put power in you. Just sitting there, it'll just start smoldering sometime. And people get embarrassed when it smolders. Just put that out. Hiding and ashamed of the power of God. But I like what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is wonderful scriptures and great memory verses that we could teach our children in Sunday school." He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the dunamis." It is the dunamis. It is the power of God. It is miracle working power. And that man walked in miracles, didn't he?
Well, that was the Apostle Paul, and he's the Apostle Paul. That's why he walked in miracle working power, because he's the Apostle Paul. Oh,
that's funny. I thought Jesus gave us all that same miracle working power. He gave us all dunamis. He did. Same power. Even the same power that Jesus walked in. Jesus walked in miracle working power. Didn't he? Jesus walked in it. Hallelujah. And that's the same power that has been given to you and I. Notice over there in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Hey, friends, guess what? The word miracles there is dunamis. It's dunamis. It's the same Greek word that Jesus said that will come upon you, that you shall receive when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Same Greek word. How did Jesus do what he did? Because he had dunamis. How did the Apostle Paul do what he did? Because he had dunamis. Guess what you have? We got dunamis, guys. We got dunamis. Hallelujah. That's right. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, by dunamis. So how are we going to be approved of God? Or attested by God? How are you going to be approved by God? You really believe that? How important do you think it is to be approved by God? It's very important. It's vital. Right? How's it going to happen? Miracles, wonders, and signs. Miracles, wonders, and signs. Miracles, wonders, and signs. That's what you and I are to be walking in. That's what we're to be operating in. That's what Jesus operated in. It's what the apostles operated in. Notice over in chapter 4 of Acts. Acts 4, 33, and with great power. Woo! With what? Guess what Greek word that is? Oh, yeah. It's dunamis. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Oh, hallelujah. I haven't been wanting the grace of God on their life. Well, what is that? Well, that's all that God is and all that he has freely bestowed upon you. That's what the grace of God is. And when you start working that power, when you start working that power, you're going to have more grace upon your life for life. To go out and live life. You're going to have more of the ability and strength of God manifested upon your life as you stir up and use the dunamis that God has given you. As we use this great power that God has given us. Man, I'm just stirring myself up, if anybody. I'm determined. I'm determined. Now is the time to step out of it, step out of the box. I've stepped out of a few boxes in my lifetime, but we got a little power. I believe Jesus is looking and saying, well, good job. You got a little power. I look around, I don't see any power in a lot of places, but I got a little power over here. But I'm not satisfied. There's more. There's more to step out into. Come on. There's more to release. There's more to birth. There's more to push out. There's more of Christ that's to be formed in us and manifested through us. Shikalalaba shekarabasata. We got to shake ourselves and come out of the ordinary. Come out of the mundane. Come out of that boring life. and step on over into the supernatural life, over the powerful, dunamis life that God has meant us to live. We're going to have to start doing things out of the ordinary. People do that all the time, expressing the flesh. Express the flesh. They express their fleshy feelings. They jerk, shake, shug, shrug. And make their faces. Right? They do it all the time for the flesh. How about doing it because you got something that you're determined in God to see come out of your life? Well, we're here in Acts. You want to just keep going in Acts until somebody starts acting? Why don't we stay in Acts until somebody starts acting? You know why it's called Acts? Because they acted. They acted out the power of God. They put the power of God on display. They made a show of the power of God in their life, and they turned their world upside down. Now, that's how the thing started, and that's how it's supposed to be today. All the way until when Jesus comes back. And the latter-day church is should be a whole lot greater than the former church. There's power in my hands. Got to release power. We got to release power. We walk into atmospheres. We release the power. Sometimes we just play games, you know, with it. We're not playing games, but we're just working it. We're a little spastic. We don't really know what we're doing because we're not well trained in it. But we just stand next to somebody and go like that. See if anything happens. If they start saying, man, it's getting hot in here, you say, oh, yeah. That ever happen? You go to a place, you release a little bit of God, and they start getting hot. You go, no, it's getting hot. Start working the miracles. Even if it starts off as a little thing, it's time to start working it. Can you say amen? Amen. And then we get to the place where we're like Stephen over in Acts chapter 8, where the Bible says, Acts 8, verse, well, I actually didn't mean to go there, but that's good too. Stephen is actually Acts 6. But I took you to Acts 8. I was going to say verse 8, and I think it fits. Let's go back. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the what? The miracles. The miracles. The miracles which he did. Which God did? It didn't say what God did. It says miracles that he did. Well, if God wants to do it. No, God gave you the power to do it. He wants you to yield to his Holy Spirit. And it, of course, it is the Holy Spirit's power that gets the job done. But you got to work that power. And so he did. Miracles which he did. That's a lot of folks, they'd get offended just hearing that. God does it. You can't do miracles. Well, who is Philip? Was he something beyond what we are? He wasn't even an apostle. He wasn't even an apostle. And the miracles which he did. Is this an error in the Bible? He did miracles. He did it by the miracle-working power of God that he received from God when the Holy Spirit came upon him. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So there's miracles, there's healing. In verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. So you'll find that joy will be where the power of God is in manifestation. Again, there's got to be that excitement. There's got to be that joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's key to tapping into the strength, the might, the power of Almighty God. Go down to verse 13. And Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. That word for miracles is dunamis. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8, power. Or Acts chapter 1, verse 8, miracles. Why do we need to see that? We need to really get a hold of that, the power that we have received upon being baptized in the Holy Spirit is miracle working power. It's the miracle working power we see here flowing through the apostles, through Philip, the evangelist. It's the same miracle power that Jesus operated in. That's what we've received from God when we were baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's the power we got. Somebody say, that's the power I got. Hallelujah. Excitement. How do you explain excitement? How do you describe it? It's more of something you feel. Isn't that right? It's not something that could be explained very well when you say, I'm excited. What does that mean? It's a feeling I have. It's a feeling I have. And our excitement is not something in the flesh. Our excitement is because of our faith in God. We've got this excitement from God. God that's on the inside of us. Friend, I'm telling you, I believe this, that if we can follow that excitement, then we can be led by the Spirit of God and we can walk in the power of God. Because that power flows a lot like excitement. That power flows a lot like, and we've been talking about this, joy. How do you explain joy? Again, it's a feeling. It's a deep inner feeling. And again, the joy that we're talking about is the joy of the Lord. So it's a joy that is the result of our faith that's in our spirit. It's a spiritual excitement. It's a spiritual happiness. It's a spiritual joy. And when we're talking about the power of God, there's a feel to it. We gotta be able to recognize it and yield to it. How do you yield to something if you don't recognize it? There's a feel to the power of God. There's a certain feel to it. There's a certain thrill when a person gets filled with the Holy Ghost. Someone says, well, I don't really have much of a thrill. Then, friend, you're not filled. They say, oh, yeah, I am. I can speak in tongues. That's nice. You can speak in tongues because you were filled with the Holy Spirit. A person speaks in tongues because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't necessarily mean they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is a great deception that before we go tonight, I just am excited to get it out. Because a lot of folks think they're filled because they can say, Shandai, Rondai, untie my bow tie. They can pray in tongues. Just because you can pray in tongues doesn't mean you're filled with the Spirit. It just means you were filled with the Spirit. You could have dried up months ago. You might have dried up years ago. But you think you're filled because you could speak in tongues because you received that gift when you were filled back here in 1908. Or 1988. That might be a little more realistic. You were filled. Friend, you got to My Bible says you got to be ye being filled.
Does it say that? It says be ye being filled. So is it possible that you're not be ye being filled? Now, let me ask you this. If you're not, okay, so he says, be ye being filled. It's what it literally says in Ephesians 5:18. Be ye being filled. Because the Greek language there denotes a continual happening. It's not just a be filled. It's a be ye being filled. He's telling a church that was already filled to continue to be filled. All right. Now, why would he tell them that unless there was the possibility of them not continuing to remain filled? Now, if they didn't remain being filled, do you think they lost the ability to speak in tongues? No, they didn't lose the ability to speak in tongues just because they didn't maintain being filled. No, they received that. That's a gift. You don't lose the gift. You got the gift. You got the Holy Spirit. You got the gift. But that don't mean you're filled now. You could have dried up a long time ago. That's sobering. I understand that. But sometimes you got to get sober before you can get drunk. Because if you're intoxicated on hot air and a lot of religious deception, then you're not going to hunger and thirst for more to be filled. And a lot of folks think they're filled with the Spirit because they can speak in tongues. And that's a deception. That'll keep you empty. That'll keep you dried up. We had a gentleman, Eddie. You don't see him here tonight. But Eddie came in here last night, and he said, I want to be able to speak in tongues. And I took him to my office, went through some scripture. I laid hands on him, and he started speaking in tongues. Praise God. He got filled, and guess what? He got thrilled. He got thrilled. There was a feeling that came when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. There was something. Everybody has different experiences, you know. Sometimes they feel fire. Sometimes they get overwhelmed and things. But everybody gets thrilled that gets initially filled. I've never, ever seen anybody, when they were initially filled with the Holy Spirit, I've never seen them just sit there and go, Shandaranda Monday, that's nice. That's nice. Oh, look, I'm speaking in tongues. Never seen it. And I don't even know how many people I've baptized in the Holy Spirit. Have no idea. Every one of them got thrilled. Even the ones that had to step into it by faith because they weren't feeling any kind of goosebumps or anything like that. And I just prompted them, helped them do it by faith. Once they started doing it, there was an excitement. There was an excitement. There was a joy. There was something that came with it. That's the power of God. And if we're not excited about the gospel, it ain't going to work for us. If we're not excited about the power of God, it's because we ain't filled with it. It's just down there in storage. And there's all cobwebs all over the door. And the devil's put up a lot of boards that said, beware, stay out, not popular among men. Until you lay hands on somebody and their disease leaves them and somebody else gets out of that wheelchair. Come on, somebody. Oh, then it'll be popular. Then it'll be popular. When I come over to your house and heal Agnes, oh, then you'll be excited about it. But people will fight you and they'll mock you and they'll ridicule you until, oh, all of a sudden, miracles are happening. So we're going to have to press through all this stuff and get over into this power of God. And I'm telling you, get this tonight. It's something you can feel. There's a joy that needs to flow. There's an excitement that needs to flow. We need to get excited. And in that excitement is the power of God. You might be a part of something exclusive because God sees that you have something in your heart that says, I'm ready to be radical. I'm ready to be different. I'm ready to break out. I'm ready to let God flow. I'm ready to let the Spirit go. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. I don't want to stay in the box. I don't want to stay in the box. I want to flow in the Holy Ghost. I want to flow in the power of God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.